Let's turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. I want to preach a very brief and simple message, but it's a message that I think needs to be heard. It's a message that you probably have heard before from those famous verses in Matthew chapter 9 at the end of the chapter about praying for laborers. You probably heard during missions conferences, preacher come in, and this is like their favorite verse. This is like a missionary's favorite verse. It's like, oh man, we're going to hear another sermon on Matthew chapter number 9. But I just want to call to your remembrance the prayer request of Jesus. The prayer request of Jesus. I don't know how you guys do prayer meetings here on Wednesday nights. You probably take prayer requests from the pulpit, Pastor Weiss. I want you to think, like, what if Jesus Christ himself were to walk into this room and he were to sit down here on the front row? Jesus would definitely be a front row Baptist, right? He'd come sit down on the front row and he'd be taking prayer requests. And then at the end of the prayer time, Pastor White says, hey, you know, Lord Jesus, do you have any prayer requests that you would like for us to share, to pray for? I think this is one of them that he would give. He didn't give a lot of prayer requests to his disciples in the Gospels. But he gave one particular prayer request, and he gave it twice. And I want us to call our attention to this prayer request, and I want us to make it a priority, because it's the key to the missionary problem. So Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35 through 38, we'll go ahead and read these verses. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have preserved it and it's here with us today. And Father, we thank you that these verses are here in your word for our sakes. And we pray that you would put this prayer request of yours on the hearts of your disciples here this evening, and that they would get serious about praying for laborers in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I just want to call your attention to the fact that Jesus asked us to pray for others to go. He was in the middle of a busy evangelistic campaign there in verse number 35 and verse number 36. He was going all around Galilee preaching the gospel. And as he was going, he noticed two problems. As he was going, he noticed two problems. And by the way, let me just make this a very quick application. It's those who are actively involved in the harvest field who will also notice these two problems. Okay, and we're going to look at them. Those who are not involved in if you're not involved in evangelizing, if you're not involved in soul winning, you're not going to notice what Jesus noticed. But for those of us who are active, those of us who are seeking to share our faith, we all know that these two problems are just as real today as they were back in Jesus' day. Now, what are the two problems? Jesus said there in verse number 37, one, the harvest truly is plenteous. So the harvest is plenteous. There's so many people out here, and they're all running around as like sheep without a shepherd. They're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, all right? They have no direction in life. They have no purpose. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for, you know, just satisfaction in life, and they can't find it. And they're running from this, you know, this latest fad to this latest movement in search of peace, and they can't find it. They're like, they're scattered abroad. They're fainting. They're weary. And Jesus noticed that. Jesus saw that as he went about his ministry, as he went about there in the villages and the cities of Israel. He noticed that. He noticed that problem. And then the second thing that he noticed was that the laborers are few. He said, I see all these people, and I see they have this need. They have this desire. They have this empty part of themselves that needs to be filled with God. And it can't be met without the laborers. There's no laborers to tell them, to give them the message of hope. There's few laborers to give them the message of peace. It's very likely that Jesus was the only one who is doing this at this time. It's very likely that Jesus was the only one who really had the message of hope, the message of peace. And so as he was going around, he's like, I need help. Even Jesus, the Son of God, recognize I can't do it all by myself. There's so many people, and there needs to be more laborers. And so he said, the harvest is plenteous, and the laborers are few. So he noticed the two problems. And the Almighty God, the omniscient God, said, there's one solution. And the solution is there in verse number 38. He said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send laborers into his harvest. The Almighty God, the omniscient God, the one who knows everything. He knows every problem. He knows every solution to every problem. He knows every possibility. He knows everything. Have you ever thought about just the omniscience of God and how much he knows? And if Jesus says, with all his omniscience, there's only one solution to this problem, I think we as the people of God need to take that solution very, very seriously. We need to take that solution very seriously. If you were sick and you went to a doctor who's not even omniscient, and he told you, this is the cure for your problem, how seriously would you take that doctor? You do what he says. Even though you know he doesn't know everything, he's not a know-it-all, but you trust him. What about Jesus, the omniscient God, who sees the problem in the world, the problem of a plenteous harvest and a scarce workforce? He has one solution. He says, pray for laborers. Now, notice what is very interesting to me, that he says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Did you notice that he didn't say pray for the harvest? He didn't say pray for the harvest. It's very interesting. And it's good to pray for the harvest. It's good to pray for people to get saved. I hope you have a prayer list of people that you're looking to see saved in your own personal life, in your family, in your workforce, in your school. I hope you have a prayer list like that. But Jesus' urgent request is not that you pray for the harvest. And secondly, I want to call your attention to the fact that he didn't say, pray for the laborers that are already in the harvest. He didn't say, pray for laborers that are already in the harvest. You know, we appreciate those of us who are already in the harvest, those of us who are going to the harvest, we appreciate prayers. We appreciate it when you pray for your missionaries. I hope you take praying for your missionaries seriously. Okay? We need it. Our ministry rises and falls on your prayers. But let me just point out to you that that's not what Jesus was emphasizing here. He said, pray for new laborers. New laborers. People who are not called. People who don't know. You know, they have no idea. Maybe they're considering. Maybe they're not. Pray that God will take new laborers out of his churches, out of the comfort zone, and send them forth. The word is very, you know, it's a very violent, it's a very forceful term. Send forth laborers into his harvest, that he will cast forth laborers out of the comfort zone and into the mission field. And that's his solution. And he says, pray. Pray for that. Pray for that. Make that a priority on your prayer list. And he said that to his disciples. He said that to his followers. And we're followers of Jesus today. If you're here and you're saved, you're a follower of Jesus, just like these men are. And the call to pray for laborers that was given then still applies today. And so I'm going to ask you this evening, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is this prayer request on your prayer list? Is this prayer request for new laborers on your prayer list? You know, it's one thing to pray for missionaries. It's one thing to pray for lost people. It's another thing to pray for new laborers for the harvest field. Is that on your prayer list as an individual? Is that on your prayer list as a family when you get together for family devotions? And I trust you do that. Have a time with God and with each other. Is that on your family prayer list, that God would send forth laborers? Is that on your prayer list as a church? If I were to take up the prayer list of Madison Baptist Church and I were to look through the prayer requests on the sheet, would I see new laborers for the harvest field? Would I see that on the prayer list? That's something that we need to consider. Because if it was on Jesus' heart, I think it was important. And if it was on Jesus' heart and we're his followers, I think that it should be on our hearts as well, as his followers, as his disciples. Okay? So Jesus said, pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. Pray for new people to be called, that there would be a continual supply of laborers for the demand of the harvest. Now I want you to call it, you know, Matthew chapter 9 ends there, but the thought, the story does not end there. Look down in chapter 10. In chapter 10, it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, so the same people that he told to pray for laborers, now he turns around and he looks at them and he gives them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And now the names of the 12 apostles or sent ones are these, and you see the names there. Go down to verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. You've received freely, so give freely. And I want to call your attention to this. The same people that Jesus looked at and said, hey, pray for laborers. Pray that God would start sending new laborers out into the harvest field. As his disciples, I'm sure they took that request seriously, and they began to pray. And Jesus turned them around as they were praying. And he said, you be the answer to your own prayer. You be the answer to your own prayer requests. You go. I shared with you earlier how God laid it on my heart to pray for unreached regions. And God turned me around and said, hey, why don't you be one of those laborers? And that happens all the time. You get a burden for something and say, hey, pastor, we need to do this in the church. We need to have this ministry. And the pastor says, you know, turns around and puts you in charge of it. That happens all the time. God burdens you because he wants you. A burden is often a call. Not all the time, but many times. It's a call. And as you take upon yourself that prayer request, that burden that Jesus had for praying for laborers, I want to exhort you to be ready. I want you to exhort you to be ready because it may be that you might be the answer to your own prayers. It may be that you might be the answer to your own prayers. If you pray as an individual, God may burden you to go somewhere with a message of salvation, a message of hope, a message of peace for the people that are out there. As you pray as a family, parents, be ready. Because as you pray as a family, God may call your son or your daughter to go out and be the answer to your prayer. Are you ready? So many parents, they hold their children back. I want my children to become this and this and this, and I got big plans for my son and my daughter. And they stand in the way of God's will for their lives. I see that in Kenya. I see that in America. Be ready, because if you take Jesus' prayer request seriously, he might say, I want your son. I want your daughter. I want them to be that labor that you've been praying for. Are you ready, parents? Church, Madison Baptist Church. As you start praying for this, as you put this on your prayer list, God may call some of the best families in this church to say, hey, I want you to go. And I'm calling you to missions. I'm calling you to evangelism. I'm calling you to gospel advance. I'm calling you to spread the word, to become laborers in the harvest field. You've never thought of it. It's never crossed your mind that you could be this. But God can still do that. God still calls laborers in 2024. Madison Baptist Church, are you ready? Are you ready if the best of you are called to go to the mission field, to go out into evangelism? Are you ready? Be ready. You know, it's very interesting, the 12 that Jesus called were not new believers. They had been with him for some time. They had been studying under his leadership, all right? They were not new believers, nor were they perfect believers. Matthew was a tax collector in his past life. Simon was a zealot. And there were other, you know, you read the Gospels, and they were not perfect, all right? God's not looking for perfect people. If God only called perfect people, then nobody would be called. But he called imperfect believers, and they were not necessarily young. Peter was already married. We know that because he had a mother-in-law. Okay, that's kind of, you know, that kind of obvious. If you have a mother-in-law, just assume that you're married. Peter is already married. Several of them had jobs. And Jesus called them right in the middle of their job and said, hey, follow me. And what does it say? They forsook all. They left their nets. They gave up their job. They gave up their business. They gave up their responsibility. And they followed Jesus. And they never regretted it. Matthew had a job as a tax collector. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them had other jobs. And God called them. And there's people like that in this congregation. There's people like that in our churches across the country. Are they ready? Consider yourself. Volunteer yourself. Surrender yourself. The Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice. Yeah. Maybe instead of asking, does God want me to go? Perhaps a better question is, why doesn't God want me to go? Why doesn't God want you to be a laborer in his harvest field? Maybe you should start taking steps forward to becoming a laborer in God's harvest until God shuts the door. He'll make it clear. He's able to stop you, but he wants laborers. Now look over in Luke chapter 10, and we'll close with this. Luke chapter 10, I said that Jesus gave this prayer request twice. In Luke chapter 9, in verses 1 through 6, you read that same story of the 12 being sent out. So we know that that's the same story that you see in Matthew chapter 9 and chapter 10. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, you see the 12 being sent out. And Jesus gave the prayer request at that time. But now in chapter 10, you have this other fascinating story. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, we just read that in Matthew chapter number 9 on a different occasion, which means Jesus gives this prayer request twice because it's on his heart. He wants you to pray for laborers. And he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And then he says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And he gives all these instructions. Verse number 8, into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you, come nigh unto you. Very similar to what Jesus was doing himself and what the 12 were doing. Now he gives this work to 70 other people. And it's so fascinating to me that Jesus gave this prayer request, and they started praying. And as a result of their prayers, God starts calling. God starts calling about six people for every original apostle. And so you have 70 people going out, 12, you know, the original 12, and then the 70, 82 people that God calls in this passage alone to go out into the harvest fields. 82 new laborers. And yet, what does Jesus say? It's very interesting. Even though there's 82 different people going out into the harvest field in Israel. Now, have any of you been to Israel? It's not a large country, okay? It's not a large area. But Jesus sends out 82 people from the time he gives this prayer request. He sends out 82 people to go out and to become laborers, 82 new laborers to help him in his gospel advance, in his mission. And yet he still says, in Luke chapter number 10, the harvest is plenteous. And he still says the laborers are few. Right. Even though he's just sent 82 new people, if 82 new pastors were to rise up tomorrow and to go out, or 82 missionaries were to rise up and to go out into the mission field tomorrow, we'd say that's pretty good. But Jesus said that's not enough. It's not enough. There's still unreached people out there. There's still countries that have never heard the name of Jesus. There's no people that still have not heard the gospel. The harvest still is great. There's still people that have needs. What are you going to do about it? They pray for laborers. There's still more harvest, and there's still more laborers needed. Let me just close with this encouragement. In Mark chapter, I think it's chapter number 6. I can't remember exactly, but Mark chapter 6, the Bible says that those 12 went out, and they preached everywhere, and they cast out many devils and healed many. And in this chapter number 10, the 70 return, verse number 17, Luke 10, verse 17 says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The most powerful enemies of these laborers were subject to them. Nothing could stand in their way. Nothing could defeat them so long as Jesus was with them. And I just want to encourage you with this. As you take upon yourself that responsibility, that prayer request that Jesus gives, pray for laborers. God's going to start answering that prayer because it's on his heart. I've seen it answered in my own life just recently. Jesus calls laborers when we start praying for laborers. And I want to encourage you with this. God, that's a prayer that God will answer. You know God will answer. And you can have the confidence that those people that God calls, whether it's you personally, whether it's someone from your family, one of your sons, one of your daughters, whether it's a family from this church, you can have the confidence that if God calls them, they will go out and they will succeed. They will go out and they will reach out. They will touch lives. They will change lives. And nothing will be able to stop them. You can have that confidence. That's what happened here. That's what I see happening even now in my own life. I'm not even there yet in the field. I already see everything coming together and just excited about what God's going to do. And so you can have that confidence. I'm going to pray for laborers, new laborers. And I'm going to pray expecting God to answer. And I'm going to pray also expecting those people that are called to go out and to have a fruitful ministry. And they're going to thrive out there in the mission field. And even the devils will be subject to their name, to them, through Jesus' name. And so I hope you take encouragement and encouragement from that passage, from the prayer request that Jesus gave. Pray for laborers. Yes, pray for the harvest. Yes, pray for missionaries. Pray for us. Or pray for new laborers. We need them. The mission field needs them. Jesus wants it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge, brief challenge, but it's on your heart and it's still on your heart today. And so God, I pray that you would burn this prayer request into the minds and hearts of these dear people here at Madison Baptist Church, to the hearts of individuals, the young people that are here, the families that are here, the church at large. God, I pray that this prayer request would become a regular part of their prayer lives and that you would begin calling laborers from this community, from this church. I pray that Madison Baptist Church would be a sending church.